Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee, and on this week's show we have Birgitta Visser. Birgitta is a soul empowerment coach and divine channel, tuning into higher frequencies and delivering messages from many light beings and master teachers. With her light language healing, she weaves light codes that activate transformation in those seeking alignment with their soul's purpose. Having overcome much abuse and trauma, Birgitta ultimately emerged into the light of self-love and spiritual awakening. Her commitment to authenticity and truth shines through in her life and in her work as she shares her wisdom and insights to support others on their journey. Birgitta has co-authored many motivational books, such as Become Empowered, Echoes of Grace and Strength, I Am So Glad You Left Me, Divine Rebirth, Miracles Are Normal, and Evolving on Purpose. Birgitta's latest release, Child of the Sun, En Route to Enlightenment in India, has become an international bestseller and explores the art of living center and various meditation practices amidst the rich backdrop of India. Birgitta offers us a glimpse into the incredible potential that lies within each and every one of us. I'm just very happy to welcome you to the Great Awakening Ministry.
Thank you so much for having me, Joanne.
Yeah, that's really, really wonderful. And we just can't wait for you to share all of your incredible, you know, spiritual awakening insights to our audience today. So first of all, Birgitta, please tell us a little bit about your childhood trauma. You know, what happened to you and all of it, you know, because I know that through our trauma, through our suffering comes our, you know, deepest awakening. So please enlighten us about that.
You're absolutely right, Joanne. And you know, many of us go through traumatic experiences, and some are worse and some are not as bad, so to speak. But trauma is trauma. And I mean, look, I signed up for this lifetime, right? I signed a soul contract. And people are like, yeah, but no, wait a minute. No, I didn't do that. Yeah, you did. You just forgot, because when you popped out the womb, you were hit by an arctic blast and you suffered from amnesia. And so, you know, for me, my childhood, my early childhood was, it was good. It was really, really nice. You know, and growing up in the 70s and the 80s was very different to what it is now. But around the time from when I was about 10 onwards, you know, trauma hit me. I had these really weird, like, peeping Toms out on the street, and they would say, one of them would say, oh, well, I know your father, I know your father. And it was just, and I ran, because he was showing me his privates. I ran, you know, 10-year-old kid. Yeah. And the same with a Bahasa Malay teacher at an international school that my sister and I attended. He, you know, when I would go to the teacher and he would check my homework, he would just rub his hands up and down my leg. And I didn't understand that. So my sister, she told my parents. My parents went to the head of school, and I had to write everything down that he done, that, you know, what he did to me. And I was in tears and I felt so guilty, and he was fired. And, you know, when you're a child, you don't really understand that. And you can tell a child 1,000 times it's not your fault. Yeah. But if it doesn't register, it doesn't register. And so after that, when my dad went bankrupt, we moved to one of his business partners' homes. And so he's, you know, this guy was there, and he assaulted me, and I didn't know what to do with that. I didn't understand, you know. I'm like 11, 12 years old, and I kept that with me till I was 19.
Wow.
But It's not just that. I mean, my dad passed away when I just turned 14, and he always said to my mom, "If we leave Malaysia, I will die." And I mean, he didn't have work. He was looking for work, and he, funnily enough, after he crossed over, a company called in Indonesia, and they said, "Could we speak to your husband?" And so my mom had to say, "I'm sorry, but he's passed away." I was 44, and I was bullied in high school because I was 5'11". I was super skinny, and I was really tall, so I walked around like the Hunchback of Notre Dame because I was afraid of guys. And honestly, that fear was so embedded within me. It was like if there was a guy in the hallway, I would be, I would panic, and I would just go another route to the classroom. It's insane. It really is insane, but that's how I felt. And when my mom put me onto a modeling course, she wanted for me that it how do I say this? She wanted me to feel more comfortable in my own skin, yeah, increase my confidence. Well, that didn't work out very well either, because I remember doing a hair show, and my hair was pretty long. It was long. It was here. And he chopped it into a pixie crop, and that I felt so ugly. I just wanted to disappear. I really wanted to disappear. And even when I at that age of like 14 years old, I started like throwing away my food, my lunch at school. And I guess I don't know, throughout my life, and I always say this, Joanne, one bit of trauma creates another bit of trauma, right? Because we don't heal, and we just keep carrying that heavy baggage with us, this heavy programming. And so it carried on into my relationships. The few that I had, they were very dysfunctional, of course, and I couldn't understand, like, why didn't they love me? Why, the whys. But it wasn't these characters that came into my life, and for that matter, and in other people's lives, they help us to, well, they're there to trigger us, yeah, so that we realize what we need to heal. But gosh, I really suffered from donkey syndrome because I had to go through so many painful experiences just to get to the point, like, hey, you know what, I'm worthy. Yeah, how about I love myself? How about I heal myself? But I really needed to hit that rock bottom in, I think it was like 2008, 2009, with my ex, who was a part-time crack addict. I was like, I was so naive. I just didn't know that. And I bought him a ticket from the US to Holland, where I lived at the time. And it just got so out of hand. And I was just like, I had to call the cops, and they did well. They put him on a train to the airport, and then he just left his luggage somewhere. So I needed to pick it up. Then he landed in bed with the Dutch Crips, and then they held him for ransom, and I had to help the police. And in a nutshell, I mean, my mom got me out of Holland in the space of several days, and I had an apartment in the UK. And I mean, when the leader of the Crips found out, he called me up and he said, "If I ever find you, I'm going to kill you." And he's like, "If I ever find your ex, you will never find him because he'll be dead in a ditch somewhere." And I was like, "Yeah, I even went to the cops in the UK, and they're like, "Sorry, not our jurisdiction." And so I went to see a counselor, a regular counselor through the NHS. And she looked at me, and after an hour, she's like, "Well, you know what? You're strong enough. You'll be fine." And there I was, and I just was like, "Yeah, this is not going to work for me. This is just..." And the thing was, I mean, I'd taken like a whole box of Nurofen Plus, yeah, just because I didn't want to feel that pain anymore. And so, but all that did for me was it gave me a good night's sleep. And that's the thing. So I knew I needed to do something, and
And it
I
seems like
found a Reiki healer.
it seems like all of your life, from when you were really young, one trauma after the other, after the other, all about men, all about men. So, and I
Yes.
believe that When we're a victim like that, we attract that to us unconsciously. Yeah.
We do.
We attract
We
it
do.
to us until we get to the place where you just said, I realized it was my worthiness. And no, the counselor couldn't hurt you because it's a spiritual, it was a spiritual thing for you. You know what I mean? Which it always is.
Yes.
It always is. So you then you realized you had to get spiritual help. Someone who could help you see, and ignite that higher self, because in the end, it's always our higher self that heals us. But tell us about when you went
Absolutely.
to the Reiki lady. Yeah.
Yeah, so she said to me as well, you've always been a doormat, and it really helped me a lot. And so I studied Reiki under her level one, and then level two. Level one took me like a year. Level two, about the same. These days you can just do it in a weekend. Well, I don't believe in
Nor do I.
that, but I'm old school like that. And eventually I did become a Reiki master, but I studied many healing modalities. And it wasn't so much the healing modalities that I studied, it was really about healing myself first and foremost. And then still it was like taking one step forward and two steps back because the experiences still kept coming. And some people think it's just, oh, it's just from this lifetime, but it's
No.
not. It goes through the ancestral lineage
That's
because when we're in the womb, right, we feel everything. Our ancestors, it just flows through every cell, through the bloodstreams, every atom, every molecule. That's just the way it is because we're not just this blob, right? I always say we're like man made of clay, but we are these beautiful souls wrapped in this beautiful human body. Yeah. And so we're energy. And
We
so
are.
energy travels through the ancestral lineage.
That's right.
And
It's up to
it
us.
has been,
Up to us
yes,
to
we have
heal
power to
that,
break it.
because
Yeah.
we're the zero point. We
Yes.
are the product of all of our ancestors. So, and when we
Yes.
heal ourselves, we heal them, and we
Yes.
heal the lineage going forward. So it's so important to do our inner work, and it's so important
Yes.
to change that directory. Change that, which they couldn't probably do because they didn't have the tools to do it. Now we have the understanding, we have the tools, we have the people to help us. There's so many different ways of healing now.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I agree. And just because I healed didn't mean I didn't go through another disastrous relationship. Of course I did, because and my guides were up there looking, sitting there with the popcorn. Oh, let's see what Brigitte is going to do now. And what did I do? I walked to the ends of the earth, But I also realized that this person wasn't right for me because a lot of them were just very mentally abusive. And I asked for it, right? I
Yes.
attracted that.
It's all
So
self-created, is it not? Everything's self-created for us to see the truth.
Yes. And it took me some time to get rid of him, but it was like I needed to pay his bills. I was in the US, I didn't have a mortgage because I bought the home outright. But I look back now and it's like, you can drag a horse to water, but you can't force it to drink. People need to learn to help themselves. Yeah, because by really trying to help him, I was stunting his growth, but also my
Exactly.
own growth.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah, so I look back on my life now and I'm eternally grateful for everything that I've been through. And it doesn't mean it's stopped there. I mean, I've been bullied in the workplace as well, and I've learned to stand up for myself.
That's
I've
when
really
it
learned.
changes. I think that's when it changes. When you do some of your inner work and you go within and you see the patterns in your life that you keep playing out, because we're always healing. We're always healing. We're always evolving.
Always.
We might go through a major dark night of the soul, but then we come out of it, but then we have to go through another and another. It's always
Yes.
peeling the onion, the layers off. But that's when we realize our sovereignty, and we realize that, everything is self-created. And then we can bless that person that we was. We can accept that young girl that did all them things to her, because everything was self-created. Everything was self-sabotaging that way. Not harming another, But then, that's when we take our sovereignty and we
We
stand up and we say we are worthy.
absolutely. And I mean, 2 years ago, I mean, my ex came back into my life, the one from Holland, and I thought he changed. I mean, I'd done so much work on myself. And so he came to Spain, didn't pay for it, came to Spain. And as soon as he got off that plane, it was like I felt the lead in my shoes. And so he worked from home, right? And I had to get him some stuff, but he didn't pay any of the bills. He bled me dry. He was very abusive. He gaslit me. He was just, I was living in fear in my own home. And he took over my whole home. I was sleeping in the study, working in the study, and nobody knew what was going on because I was just doing my meetings. I was just working, remotely. And after 3 weeks, I had enough. I had enough. And I kicked him out of my house. I said, "You're going to get the hell out of my house now." And it was hard. It was so hard because
That
I
was a
was
test.
broken.
That was a massive test for you. Are you going to be the victim, or are you going to turn it around and be the creator and the sovereign of your life? Yeah.
And so I kicked him out and he went to this hotel in Murcia. And then a week later he came back, but I didn't see he was in front of the door. And so he came in and he's like, "Well, I lost everything." And all he had left was a weekend bag. And I'm just like, I said, "No, you cannot stay here." And he's like, "I just want to sleep on the couch. I need to speak to the neighbor
No.
because no. Because he was self-medicating, yeah. That he, I mean, he took steroids, he was converting GBL to GBH. And I mean, sorry, that's not how you how you heal. And so I went him out. So I got him into a youth hostel, and that was it for me. I got a very nasty email from him when he was back in the US,
Yeah.
and
I
I
think
was
that,
basically the villain. I was it
But
was
I think
my
that
everything
lots
was
of,
my fault.
yeah, I think that lots of women go through this. They look, and I think that stems from your father, and that stems from the men, what they did to you. Yeah. And you were looking for someone to replace that, because a lot of women, they're looking for that in that father that wasn't there. And it's like, your standards were, I just have to have a man. That's what some many women have. But then when we realize our worth, we realize that we're going to step back and we're going to be celibate and we're going to do the work on ourselves to raise our vibration. And then that man out there, who is our true man, he's going to do the work and you become a spiritual match to each other, And that's when you come together and you don't want or need or from each other. You don't possess each other. You come together to enhance one another. And that's a true soulful relationship, a relationship of heart, mind, and soul connection. It's not karmic, it's not egoic, it's just true. You're in love with the soul. You're not in love with what each other looks like. And that's divine love, I believe.
Yes, that's fair, and that's really, really true, Joanne.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And I always say to people, I don't care who you fall for, it's like a, I always say it's like a chemical reaction, but it's the energy of the soul that you're attracted to. And I do, you know, for many, many years, my coping mechanisms were, I used to starve myself. So I was a pro at that. And I used to work like 7 days a week just to keep my demons at bay. Yeah. Oh gosh, and I really was a people pleaser to it because I was so afraid to hurt other people.
That's right. Again, you were hurting yourself. Yeah.
Yes.
And until you get to that point, it keeps on coming back. It keeps on coming back. The same thing, the same thing. You're not learning it. It's like, hello, is she going to wake up now to her life? And, you know, and eventually that worthiness turns into self-love. And self-love is learning to love the divine within you and to not allow another to treat you in that disempowering way ever again.
Absolutely. And there's another aspect, something that women don't really talk about, but I suffered from it for many, many years, even though, you know, I haven't been with someone for the last 2 years. And I love my me time. I love my solitude. And even now I'm healing, right? Throughout our lives. But I suffered from vaginismus, and vaginismus is something that I know a lot of women suffer from, because when they go through something traumatic and they get into a relationship, it's like the vagina says, oh, no, this is invasive, right? It's the trauma within. And so sex for me was always very, very painful. And so again, it was very much, I needed to heal a lot.
And also, I believe that sex between two people is a sacred prayer. And if that man's energy does not resonate with yours, he's a taker, he's an abuser, his energy is not... You're going to take that energy into the womb. Now, the womb will hold that energy for 7 years. Yeah? 7 years. That's why it's so important to do like cord cutting work. So you're cutting the cords of that energy from 7 years, from all of them men who were not resonating on your higher evolutionary state of energetic alignment. You know, they were, and that's how, you know, when you come together in that embrace, that sexual embrace, sex, sexual energy, you know, engagement, you are sexual energy exchange. You know, it's so important to have a true man who is, you know, an energetic equal to you and who's not taking your energy, because that's how, you know, that's wrong. That's why you felt like that. That's why sex was painful for you, because you wasn't resonating. It wasn't beautiful. It wasn't blissful. It wasn't celestial. It wasn't with a true energetic, your true energetic soulmate, you know.
Correct. It was none of that. None of that. But, you know, when I went through this 2 years ago with my ex, and it really was like a sharknado going through my home. But my guides were like, Brita, why don't you just do psilocybin and then ayahuasca? And I did. It was just, the psilocybin was
beautiful. Magic mushrooms.
Yeah, magic mushrooms. And it was really beautiful for me because I was sitting on the mountaintop with the sitters. And at that moment, I could see that everything was sacred geometry. Everything was sacred geometry. And sacred geometry plus energy, you know, equals frequency. And so the frequency is what we vibe out, because that's what we create. And I always say, what we vibe out is exactly what we reel back in.
Exactly. That's what Jesus says, what you give, you shall receive.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And ayahuasca was an experience because I sat with the shaman and he's like, what is your intention? And I said, well, I want to heal all the unhealed. And I didn't do my research on ayahuasca. I do not like to do that. The same with Kumbo when I did that a few years prior, because then I set an expectation and I do not like to do that. And so what happened was, I'm going to tell you this, I was puking my guts out.
Oh yeah, I've been there with that one.
And they were so purging, afraid of me.
Purging,
exactly. They had to help me to the toilet. I don't care. And then they had to help me back and they're like, are you okay? Are you okay? I said, listen. And I was pulling at my hair, you know. And I said, listen, I'm okay. I said, I asked for this, so let me finish it.
Because it's a physical purging, which is emotional, spiritual, you know, energetic, you know, spiritual purging as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. So,
yeah, it was very, very powerful. Oh, don't even get me started on seeing the gummy bears and these 1950s ladies, you know, the cinematic ladies. I saw them. I saw them. I saw everything. But I mean, I saw Ganesh. I saw the
but it changed you. It changed.
It did. It did.
It opened up a different path within you.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter how you heal, as long as it aligns with your spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. And it's for me as well. It's for me as well. And you know what I believe? And I say this a lot because, you know, you can't take your demons with you into your life that you want to live, because so many people take them. They oh no, it's because of my past that's why I am what I am like today. Well, if you think that, you can never self-realize, you can't evolve, it's going to stop you. You know, you have to make peace with it. You have to make peace with your past so you make peace with your future and you can bring peace to the world. That's what we're here for. Bless that person. She didn't know. She was just going through. She was just being walked over. It started when you was 11, you know, not having the safety, having all of them people take advantage of you. So it was a long, 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 same with me as well. I got involved in so many things, you know, being an escort and all of that. And now I've been so many years, you know, this is my healing, you know, and we all have to go through that dark night of the soul. That's what brings us. That's what brings in the light, you know, the light. And then as we get to, the art of healing and overcoming your trauma. So I know that you took ayahuasca for that, but tell us about the art of healing and overcoming your trauma.
Wow. It's taken many, many, many years because it's peeling back the layers.
Yeah.
You know, I've done my stint in drugs, nearly lost my life, you know.
Blackouts. Yeah, me too.
And, then I lost my stepdad when I was nearly 25. And that was really, really tough. So that's why I rolled into drugs, because my mom depended on me, you know, and people always wanted me to be happy. Yeah. And they didn't want to know when there was something wrong, you know, if this was a big thing for me because I was really close to my stepdad. Mm. But healing is not like, whoa, it's not like it went overnight.
No,
it took me many, many years. And, you know, I studied Reiki, angelic Reiki, meditation.
I
love meditation.
Yeah, really, of course.
It does help me. A relaxation therapy. And I also read a book on Emile Coué, the father of autosuggestions. He was a French chemist. And he decided, hey, well, what if I tell them that, what if I give some people a placebo and other people the real medicine?
It's all in our belief.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All in the way. If you believe it to be so, shall so it be. You know, what you believe, so shall it be.
I studied aromatherapy. Oh God.
And what happened when you visited India?
Ah, yes. That was
the art of living process.
Art of living. Because, I'm part Indian, although my
Ah.
family is in Suriname and in Holland. But yes, when I was in India, when I went, I was working for Shell at the time, and somebody told me, he said to me, "Brigitte, why don't you visit the Art of Living Center?" Because he was a teacher, and I said, "Okay," so hopped on a plane and I went. I went there for several weeks. And it was really, really interesting. Not just the culture, and being on the grounds of an ashram. I mean, trust me, the mattress was paper thin. So, but it was beautiful. I mean, I learned the art of meditation and did the Sudarshan Kriya, and I remember just being clawed up like this because there was so much pain. There was so much that needed to come out, and I wasn't allowed to journal, but I did it anyway, and I'm glad I did. Yeah, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to write that book. But I learned so much, and I think that has stayed with me. The meditation part has stayed with me. That doesn't mean I do the Sudarshan Kriya, but I had to learn to let go of a lot. You could say actually that was the start of my journey.
Releasing all of that, all of them, because that's what it is. All the memories, all the negative experiences, everything is
Yes.
just energy trapped in our energetic pain body, is it not?
Yes.
It keeps getting fed, keeps getting fed, keeps getting fed. So
Yes.
things like meditation and yoga and all that, some of these spiritual disciplines, they help release that, you know, don't
Yes.
they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love the Indian culture. Don't get me started on the food, I mean, we observed silence for several days, and that was actually really powerful, just not talking, and just getting up every morning, getting our breakfast and then starting the class. And then when you start to speak again, it sounds a little strange, but it's very powerful because you're forced to sit with your thoughts. And you're forced to reflect rather than deflect. And for me, what helped me a lot was, I wrote things down. Now there was stuff like satsang. I'm not a big fan of satsang. I was plotting 1,000 escapes in my head. And eventually I thought, no, I'm just going to get up. And I walked off. It wasn't for me. They had another festival called Holi Festival. So I was flushed to colors, right?
Yeah, the
And
holy festivals.
that was really beautiful to see. What really got to me is that there's so much child labor there.
Yeah, I know. It's really, really bad. Yeah.
And there was a little boy from 7 years old, Joanne.
I
And
know.
I'd taken a lot of toys and exercise books and everything for the orphans of Kashmir because they were on the they were in on the premises of the Art of Living. And there was a little boy, like probably 7, if that. And I said, "Shouldn't you be in school?" And he's like, "No, I'm builder." And so I said, "Wait here." So I gave him a little airplane, a model that model that he could put together. And he was just really, really grateful for that. His eyes just lit up.
Isn't it funny that India is so spiritual? The
Yes.
heritage, you know, the Bhagavad Gita goes back like 8, 10,000 years old, you know, the spiritual lineage of the rishis in the Himalayas, thousands and thousands of that, you know. But then you've got so much poverty and child labor, and you know, it's just awful, child marriage and everything there. It's just terrible. But you know,
Yes.
that's the same, I think, with a lot of countries. It's such a dilemma, it's such a paradox that you've got such a spiritual side to it. But also working with the many masters, the light beings, Archangel Michael. I love Archangel Michael. I pray to Archangel Michael all the time, and Saint Germain.
Yeah, they're both hilarious to me. Everyone that channels them differently. For me, they sprinkle that sense of humor into it. And I love that. I really, really love that. I mean, it's one of these things like I got into channeling or automatic writing back in 2017. And it was really funny how that happened because I was at a course or a workshop from my former mentor, and she helped me walk through past lives. So, she's an Akashic record healer. And that was really, really powerful for me. But during this workshop, I mean, she counted to three. Everyone knows where I went, Joanne. And then when I heard her counting back, three, two, one, I was back in the room. Everyone had seen all these colors and their guides and you name it. And there I was. There I was. I was really upset. I was tears there, my tears were streaming down my face. So I quickly wiped them away. Because I saw nothing. And so there was this beautiful little exercise that Alania gave, and she's like, all you need to do is just sit down with a pad and a pen and just say to the universe, I am ready to receive. Well, at that point, I mean, my mind was already shot to hell. Yeah. So I was like, I rushed out after that workshop, went home, and I sat down. And that's when it just started to flow. And it was really old English at the time. And then I looked at it and I was actually crying tears of joy. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I'm good at something. And so I did that every single day. I started to do it every single day. Yeah, it's like the same when you go to the gym, right? If you do it once,
Practice.
it's
Same as
practice. Exactly.
meditation. The more
Yes,
you
same
practice,
thing.
the more in the bliss you'll stay.
Yes. And so I so yes, it continued on from there, and now it's become really, really easy. But I enjoy talking to Archangel Michael. Recently it's been Archangel Sandalphon. He's very, very, very gentle, very healing as well. Saint Germain has just got a wicked sense of humor. And it's
Thank you.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Jermaine is amazing. Yes.
Yes.
And also, I believe all of our mystery schools, from the white lodges of Egypt, ancient Egypt,
Yes.
to the Essenes and the Cathars and the Templars and the, the Mace, all of these, all of these Jesus and Mary Magdalene, all of these coming down have all been passed down from Atlantis and Lemuria.
Yes, that is correct.
When the
Absolutely.
cataclysm came and the big, the big flood and fire, whatever it was, they believed that some of them escaped from the,
Correct.
falling of Atlantis and Lemuria, and like they became pockets of, like, the Mayans were pockets of that because they remember they've got on their walls, they've got like, and the Egyptians were
Yes,
part of them, they've
Egyptians,
got,
yeah.
because they were like pockets of them, of all these, they brought the healing. Mystical, spiritual, magic discipline with them, through
Yes.
all of this. So it's all the ancient mystery scores. It's all from one source, our heritage.
Yes, absolutely. And those that say that the pyramids are death chambers, burial chambers,
No, no, no,
no,
no.
absolutely not.
They're
Absolutely not.
energetic. They are resurrection. They are reincarnation, resurrection. They're like the death of the ego to rise up and initiate into your true divine self. That's the true mystical ascension. It's ascension process. That's what the pyramids are for.
Yeah, and also, you know, there was also a pocket in the Himalayas. But what I will say is this, I mean, they were far more advanced than we are now.
Yeah, of course.
And they, you know, people who do not believe in the Galactics, I do because I channel them, you know, they were working with them. I mean, that was, now it's like they're far away. I mean, I do see the spaceships up here. I saw them when I was living in Tours. It was kind of just amazing. And every time I see them, I say, thank you for being here.
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
I love it.
Yeah. And what about, so what is our purpose? Humanity's purpose, our journey on this blue planet?
Oh, I've asked that a lot of times. I've asked that. And there's something that Saint Germain always says, you know, life is merely a return to love, nothing more, nothing less.
Because God Goddess is love. God Goddess is love.
Yes. Absolutely. And then people say, yeah, but what is my purpose? Oh, well, and that's kind of a trick question because, I'm sorry, everything you do has purpose. Everything causes a ripple effect in some way, form, shape, or other. So, and people don't always realize that, but what if we return to that love for ourselves? What if we healed ourselves? Yeah?
You have to have that self-love. You have to become a healer. You have to love yourself first. And then when you do that, your divine mission will come to you because you're resonating on that higher level, on that higher vibration of love. And then it will open all of the gates and your divine mission will come. And we have to. That's what it is. When we come to that place, we are making ourselves whole, holy again by bringing back all those pieces of our soul that we gave away during all the traumatic experiences with all them people who took, or just our self-creation or giving ourselves away. So we're becoming, loving ourselves, being, doing that work makes us whole, holy again, brings us back to that balance.
Absolutely. And what people may not realize, you know, we are creator beings, but creators created us to create our experiences.
Exactly. You
know, because we are creators.
We are. And
we create our reality.
Yes, we do. We're made in the image of God, Goddess, and they're the creator. Elohim. Elohim created Elohim, masculine and feminine. Elohim is masculine and feminine. That's what it means. You know, it's been indoctrinated to say it's only the masculine God, but it's not. It's masculine and feminine energy, which is the duality that we live in. Hot, cold, masculine, feminine, light, dark. Everything has the masculine and feminine energy in this duality realm that we live in, you know? And it's like, that's what it is. That's what it is. We are, once you realize that you're not the victim, then you become the creator. You raise your energy. You take away all the things that are not love that you thought you were to realize that you are love and you are a part of the divine. You have the divine flame, which is your soul consciousness, which is pure love within.
Yes. And when people say, there's so many people that say, yeah, but we have to go to the divine feminine. It's a balance between the masculine and the feminine. Yeah. The masculine is all about the go, 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 go. And
Exactly. But I think but in this day and age, I think that because it's been, we had to have the wounded masculine hierarchy to overpower this world for the women to realize who they are, for the women and for the divine masculine. We had to be persecuted. We had to, you know, it had to be suppressed, you know, for us to be in this time that we rise up. And this is the time where we raise the divine feminine. So I think that it has to be the rising of divine feminine, and the divine masculine has to allow that rising of the feminine for us to be in that unity consciousness balance. There's no hierarchy with any
There isn't.
You know, because before, in the beginning of time, in Lemuria, it was the goddess cultures. You know, we had the goddess cultures who were the rulers. You know, and then the men came in, and it was the but it's the masculine and feminine face of the godhead, looking at the god with the feminine face and the masculine face. Mm-hmm. It's the dual masculine and feminine teaching, balance, unity that we have to come into. That we are coming into, and that the masculine has to allow the women to rise, to take her place in that balance. And that's what's happening, I believe. I can feel it. I can feel it so much.
Yeah, and, you know, we're teetering on, this is one of the things, we're actually teetering on the brink of a new world. So it's kind mm-hmm. of colliding. And that's why a lot of people that do the spiritual work, it's like they're exhausted, yeah, because yeah. it's such a transformational time. I mean I've had it, I understand it, and I'm going through a lot right now, so I'm discerning. I've kicked people out of my life. Mm-hmm. I've had to stand up for myself and speak up for myself.
That's right.
And just take a step back from everything, unemployed angel.
Yeah, beautiful. That's what we're here to do. We're here to bless everyone and to give space to everyone for them to express their divinity and their soul on this earth. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Absolutely. Wow, honestly, it's absolutely wonderful. And just tell us, please, Birgitta, where can we read your books?
They're on Amazon.
Okay, yeah.
They're on Amazon, but I'm rewriting the first one, Becoming Authentically Me, because it was my first book and it was so long, you know, you want to cram everything in there. And I didn't have the right editor. It's not like the one for Child of the Sun. Mm. But collaboration books are on Amazon as well.
Lovely.
And I like doing collaboration books because it's nice to see, you know, to see other people's journey, and then you kind of come together and you work on it. And everyone has a different journey. So it's nice to have different stories.
Lovely. Well, I just want to say, Birgitta, thank you so much for, you know, giving us, for telling us all about your story and your trauma, and for empowering yourself and healing yourself and coming to this wonderful sovereign divine feminine state of being that you're in now. So thank you for being on the Great Awakening show.
No, thank you so much for having me, Joanne.
Lovely. Wonderful, Birgitta. It was so...